Good morning, Cedarville. It's a privilege to provide a devotion this morning, and I'm grateful for the invitation from our president, Dr. White, and my dean, Dr. Rogers, to serve our community in this way. I want to go ahead and jump straight into what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart for us this morning. And so if you have a copy of the Word, I'd love for you to join with me and follow along. I want to show you some things in the Scriptures that I believe will encourage your heart this morning. And we're going to be in 2 Peter, okay? So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. We're going to look around at various places and see what the Lord has to say. Let's start our time with a word of prayer and ask for him to bless our time in his word. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather here in this moment to be hearers of your word. And we ask that we would have ears to hear. Lord, that we would also have an appetite for the food of your word, and that it would be the means by which you are our portion. May your spirit do his work to give us understanding and to bring us into places of faith, hope, and love and Christ's likeness in every way. It's in the name of your precious son we pray, amen. The title of the devotion I have for us today is Remember, and comes out of 2 Peter. It made me think about, there's like this running joke that goes on from one generation to the next, that husbands are prone to forget their wedding anniversary, prone to forget this date that should be unforgettable, right? And the joke is impartial. You will hear newlyweds accused of this joke all the way to someone celebrating their golden anniversary of 50 years of marriage to their spouse, to their wife. And I'm sure that husbands have earned it too in some way. Whether or not that stereotype is true, what's baffling for us about that idea is that a date that signifies something of such great importance, significance, that a husband has experienced a total life change from leaving mother and father and being joined together with wife in marriage, his great love to devote himself exclusively to her till death do us part. How could that ever be something that we forget? How could a major event, a fixture of our life, something that is so familiar to us, be forgotten? And I think it's possible simply because we're forgetful, right? It's the trouble with being finite and fallen. And husbands, I would still say that's no excuse, right? Marriage is designed by God to be a portrait of the gospel and Christ's oneness with his bride, the church. But even the Lord's people, who at one point have left their father, we might say the devil, or their mother, the world, by faith in response to the call of the Holy Spirit in the gospel of the Lord Jesus to be made one with Christ, we too are prone to forget. And it's not just a date on a calendar that we can forget, maybe when we got saved or our personal testimony, but even more serious than that, we forget the bridegroom. We forget our God, who, as Isaiah 54:5 says, is our maker, our husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. The God of the whole earth, he is called. There's several moments in the Old Testament that tell us a sad truth. And it often appears when a biblical author is rehearsing the narrative that we see in the Pentateuch of God's creation and his redemption of his people. An example of this comes up in Psalm 106. Psalm 106, 19 to 22, you will hear a reference made to that golden calf incident in Exodus where they have worshiped a metal image. In verse 20 of Psalm 106, it says, they exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. And in verse 21, the psalmist says, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. and worked wondrous things in the land of Ham and also deeds by the Red Sea. And even a few verses before that, in verse 13, it says that they soon forgot his works, for they did not wait for his counsel. And in verse 12 before that, that forgetting of his works happens right after it says that they had believed his words and sung his praise. And it's not only that we forget God or forget his works, but Hosea, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, tells us of the Lord's declaration of judgment on his people, that they have also forgotten his law. They have forgotten your Torah of your God, the word of God. What we get here is a portrait of people that have seen God do great things, save them, deliver them, and yet this grand thing in their life, this grand person in their life, somehow or another, forget him, forget his works, forget his words. And so in 2 Peter, Peter says, I'm writing to you by way of reminder. If you look with me in 2 Peter 1:12, he says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. This letter is known for this kind of repeated phrase or word in the letter as a whole of remembrance. And what I want to do in our brief moments together today is I want to draw your attention to them, because I think that we are forgetful people. And there are a lot of things that make us forget God, right? There's a lot of things that make us forget his word, or the fact that he has a track record of saving us and providing for us in ways that often we take for granted. Sometimes the cause for forgetting God comes by way of the things that are internal to us, our own sinful desires, our hearts that are prone to idolatry and wander from him. Or maybe it's from without, right? Maybe it's when life is filled with many good things. There's a lot of good things that come in life that can, in some ways, distract us from God when we don't properly keep them in relationship to the one who is the giver. Or it may be bad things like hurricanes and suffering and pandemics and things that happen to us from the outside and confront us, and they begin to cloud us and cloud our vision and make us have some amnesia with respect to who God is and who he is for us in his son and what he has told us. You know, especially on a campus like ours where we have a Bible minor, we have chapel, we have Bible majors, we have people interested in ministry, and across campus we have a culture of discipleship, and we can become familiar. And maybe we don't realize that we've become so familiar with those things until something confronts us that causes us to lose memory of what ought to be a staple in our life. And so 2 Peter here, he says that he is writing to remind us. So I want to focus on three little helps that I think Peter's letter gives us, because he knows we need reminding. And one thing to note is that biblical remembrance is not just about nostalgia, okay? It's not just about reminiscing on the past. And it wasn't God great back then. Biblical remembrance is an actual exhortation. It's an exhortation. And so Peter is writing to exhort them, and that exhortation is to remember, and remember a few things here in particular. I want to help pass on to you today through 2 Peter what we might say is a good Christian memory. And I think that's very vital in the season that we're in at this point, as we will be prone not only to complain, as Dr. Miller talked about yesterday, but also to forget the things that we already know so well. So number one, in verse 12, I think Peter wants us to be exhorted to remember the past. Remember the past. If you look with me in verse 12, he says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. So what he's reminding them of is not new information, right? These are things that they already know, and not only things they know, but realities they've already experienced. So if you go back up into chapter 1, verse 1, with the introduction, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Meaning these are people that have already received that saving faith. They've already received the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Or if we go down into verse 3, where he says that seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. The experience of salvation, to be born again, to be a child of God, is this past tense moment that we must never get over or get past, right? That we've received a faith, and we've been brought into the righteousness of God and right relationship with him. And this has happened by his call, and that call out of darkness and into light. And sometimes we can forget that, right? We can forget what God has done to allow us, in verse 4, to be partakers of the divine nature. That he's granted us his precious promises that we might participate in the life of God and know him and have fellowship with him. Not only at present, but forever. Sometimes the weights of this world make that a distant memory. Did that really happen? Is that a figment of my memory? But no, that really happened. I'm his, I belong to him, I was bought by him, I belong to Christ, I've been dwelt by the Spirit, I'm a new creature. And that's true just as much today as it was when it first happened. So if you look with me in verse 9 of chapter 1, he says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." Do you see that language there of forgetting? So what happens if we don't remember the past well in terms of what great things God has done for us in salvation, then we quickly become blind and short-sighted and we forget that we've been purified from our former sins and unto a holy life that those qualities in verses 5-7 are meant to outline for us and describe as to what it looks like to live a life of faith that ends in love, as that list that Peter gives us reflects. The second thing is to remember the present. And we could go back to verse 12 again here. "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." Do you see? He's writing to people that are not necessarily, on the edge of apostasy. There are some temptations that this letter draws out that are coming from false teachers and false prophets and false truth. But these are people that would say that they've already been established in that. And I would imagine that that probably describes a lot of our campus. People who are established in the faith, rooted and built up in Christ, and yet still need reminding of the present reality in which you inhabit. And when you don't, we can go back up to verse 9 again, that when that happens, we forget our purification from former sins, and we fail to lead the life of faith and love, self-control, knowledge, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness that is ours in Christ Jesus by the Lord's word. This is also something that is strengthened by the witness of the scriptures. So if you go with me in verse 13, he says, "I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder." There's another key word for us. "Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, so also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind." I think that statement right there in verse 15 is a statement that Peter has in mind, that you're going to keep reading his letter in the present to remind you about things of the present life that we have in God and Christ, and what kind of life that ought to yield for us no matter the circumstance. And that's going to move into the next set of verses in 16-21, that we have a prophetic word, a lamp shining in the darkness in verse 19. Something that we need to pay attention to. Christian readers are attentive readers and hearers of the word because lest we miss it, right? Lest we miss it, lest we forget. And so we read 2 Peter, we'll read him again. Hopefully maybe you'll read him today as a way of keep reminding about who you are in the present and where you've already been established, because things in this life will make you feel like you're not established in the truth, right? And the scriptures and Peter is reminding you that's not necessarily true so long as you cling to Christ and believe his word. And then the last one, number three, is to remember the future. Remember the future. This is in chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. And if you want to look there, I'll read it. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Okay, and what have they talked about that he wants to highlight here? Well, look at verse 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days, okay, this is a major biblical Old Testament teaching about the last days, the latter days, or the end of days. That is the biblical testimony to God's judgment and salvation, and also the things and events that will circulate it. And one of those is that there will be false teachers. There will be people that will make you think that COVID is all there is right now and that the Lord is not coming. And Peter says, no, remember the future. The prophets and the apostles have already told us. His delay is not slowness, it's his patience. He is coming. And these are the days of repentance. So what should we remember about the last days? Let me give you a couple of thoughts here. Number one is that we should remember about the last days that he is indeed coming, as I just mentioned from chapter 3. This idea of in verse 8 and verse 9 that his delay is not slowness. Believers, if brothers, sisters, if you are reminding yourself about the future from the witness of God's word, then you will never be deluded in thinking that his promise of return is a false hope. Instead, you will know the urgency and the imminency of his return and that these are the days to draw near. So, brothers and sisters on this campus, Christ is coming and God has said so. Don't forget. A second thing is that these are the days of repentance. And so even in the midst of our suffering and our inconvenience, we never want to forget that we should always be in some way returning to the Lord. And it brings about a place of self-denial for us as a state of being. In verse 11 of chapter 3, that as you know that these are the way things are going to play out, what sort of people ought you to be in holiness and godliness? How is your present life of holiness and godliness being motivated by and produced by a future hope? A very clear awareness and remembrance of what God has told us in his word about what is going to happen in his judgment and his salvation through his son. How is that informing right now the way that you take every single second and minute of this semester captive to his word for the sake of holiness and godliness? Another thing that if you were reminded of the future, you will be one who hastens his coming. Do you see that? In verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Oh, if there's anything that these present times cause us to do is to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And so don't forget to hasten his return, to look for the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness dwells. Second Peter, Christians, will encourage us to be reminded of our past, our present, and our future so that we are not deceived by false truth, false teachers, false prophets, lies of the flesh, the love of the world, defilements and corruption of the world. It's a way in which God continues to preserve us every minute of our life. And so in closing, I want to point out to you one word here that's in both chapter 1, verse 15, verse 13, and chapter 3, verse 1, which is that language of stir up. It's a word that's used in particular in the Gospels to wake somebody up if they're asleep, especially in the middle of a tempest, a storm. And I would say, what should we do by way of reminder for one another? I would say, be diligent to wake each other up. I'm in charge of waking up our kids in the morning while Kim fixes breakfast. I have two children out of my three that require me to go back into their room more than once to say, it's time, it's time. It requires ongoing diligence for us in each other's life to remind each other to get up. We want to get up, we know we're supposed to, but we need each other to grab ourselves by the shoulders and say, wake up, brother, wake up, sister. And you can do that through the word of God. And this is the call of Christian discipleship, is to be awake. So with that in mind, I want to close us in prayer. And I want to pray the last couple of verses of 2 Peter 3 over us this morning. And I pray that you'll remember. So pray with me. Therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men, false teachers and preachers, and lies of our own heart, and fall from your steadfastness. But Lord, would you please grant this prayer for us today, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Go in peace today, Cedarville.